Very good morning. You're listening to Michelle Ward on Phoenix 98FM. Now, I'm joined in the studio again by Gavin Perrett, who is from Will Protect, which are based in Chelmsford. And he's here today to tell us all about wills. Talking about wills, we've said this before. Wills are not just for people that are older.
It's all about having all your ducks in a row, really, and making sure that your wishes are expressly noted from the outset. I think I said this last time, but it's worth repeating, Michelle, for young people, especially young couples with children. We all know how hard it is to get on the property ladder these days. So first-time buyers are probably a lot older than they were, maybe in their late 30s now, but plenty of couples having children in their early 20s. And it's so, so important that they make a will to appoint guardians, just in case anything happens to them. The government can't make any assumptions about who they would normally wish to appoint as a guardian. So if you express that in a will, it's done and dusted.
And if they don't, if you do have children and you haven't got a will, what can be the flip side of that?
Well, social services would have to step in then and place the children into foster care whilst the system works out who the most appropriate person is to look after the children in the long term. And that system is there to protect children. It's very important that it's there, but it can be rather unsettling for the children and for the family members who would normally be expected to be appointed to look after them. So it can be quite a turbulent time. So we just think it's a really good idea to be expressive and clear from the outset about what your wishes are. And a simple basic will is the best instrument to provide that. What we recommend is that if a client's interested in making a will, they make an appointment to come and see us. We can have a conversation about their requirements because everyone's different. There's no one-size-fits-all solution. And find out what that client's concerns and anxieties are, and then we can tailor a solution, advise them what the best thing to do is, give them something to think about, give them some time to consider who they would wish to appoint. So, for instance, if a client has young children and they're particularly fond of their grandparents, they might want to appoint their grandparents as a guardian, but in reality, it might not be such a good idea because of the grandparents, no matter how lovely they are, if they're in their 80s, they may not survive long enough to look after the children until they turn 18.
Yes.
So we have to give them a bit of guidance and encourage them to be practical in terms of their choices. The directors, David Liddell and myself, we've been working together for over 20 years now. So we've come across every single situation that you could possibly imagine. They say that the truth is stranger than fiction, and it really is. And as a consequence of that, nothing surprises us anymore. We live in a, I think going back to what you were saying a moment ago about, you know, it's not just the elderly that we look after. About 30, 40 years ago, I think that probably would have been more the case, but we live in a very different society now. We're living longer. So we're living longer, and as a result of that, we've got more time to make our lives complicated, if that, for want of a better expression. So, for instance, we do a lot of work with couples who perhaps have met later on in life, and they will have, maybe they're divorced and they've got children from a previous relationship, and now they've met somebody else later on in life who's in a similar position to them. And there's another layer of something to think about at that stage, another layer of complication, and even more of a reason to be specific about how you want to allocate your assets in case something happens to you.
If you were living with somebody, because I always think if you're married to somebody, that kind of solves everything, but it doesn't if you don't have a will.
You're vulnerable. Even if you're married, you're vulnerable if you don't express your wishes.
Yeah.
Making a will is the only way that you can completely eradicate any ifs, buts and maybes, because if you leave anything to chance whatsoever, it can be interpreted perhaps in the wrong way. So I would say, no matter what the situation is, just make a will, even if it's a simple basic one to start off with. As time goes on and your circumstances become more complex, and hopefully your wealth position becomes better for you, then you can start to add in some more complex measures such as trust planning to be more specific about what you want to do. And it's so important, I believe, to involve and include the family with those conversations. The last thing anybody wants is a nasty surprise when the will is read. Even though a will is black and white, and if you're specific about what you're doing and the reasons for it, then there should really be no debate about that, and legally it's very robust. However, if everybody is aware of what is going to be in the will to a certain extent, that can prevent any nastiness upon death, because as we were again saying off air, death does sometimes bring out the worst in people. And I think having this level of clarity in advance can be extremely helpful.
You can't just say, I'm going to leave my £1 million estate, 900,000 to my daughter, and I'm going to leave 100,000 to my son. You have to actually give a reason why you're doing that.
You do. There's a very sad story, and I think I may have relayed this to you before, but it's worth repeating once again. There was an elderly lady who excluded her son from her will. She didn't give any reason why. Mm. And when she died, he contested the will, and the judge passed judgment in his favour. And unfortunately, within 6 months, he had died because he was a heroin addict. Yeah. And she was excluding him out of love for him. But she didn't write a letter. I would recommend writing a handwritten note, which is stored with the will securely, so that in the event of that will being contested, the judge has access to that highly relevant information. If it's not documented, it never happened.
What other decisions can people make in a will? Because it isn't just about the your property and things that you can leave. You can put in things for funeral arrangements and all sorts of stuff.
You can. You can really go to town on your funeral arrangements if you wish. And we're seeing more and more people pay more attention. I've had a client recently who has had a client who is a DJ, in fact, who has a set list for the funeral.
Yep.
And he's put so much thought into this, and it's all there in black and white. And I think sometimes people like to go through a process of visualizing what it's going to be like, and then once that's done, they can forget about it. In fact, I had a client yesterday who wants their ashes put into a firework and shot into the sky. So that was a first. Yeah. As I said earlier on, nothing surprises me. And again, yesterday, that crops up, and no surprise there whatsoever. Also, I think this is all part of, we lead very busy lives these days, and we like to be organised and know that, and just, we've only got so much headspace to deal with the busy aspects of day-to-day life. If we can park some of these important decisions and have them done, such as making your will, and getting your funeral arrangements in order, then you can just forget about it. Even things like funeral plans, which we can also organise, you can pay a set amount of money and know that your funeral has been paid for, and it's protected against inflation. You've got everything in there, the type of coffin that you want to have, how many pallbearers, what type of limousine you want to ferry your family to the cemetery, then it's all done. So I think, yes, the funerals are now about celebrating the life of the individual, but I think the organisational and planning aspects is more relevant to how hectic our lives are, and just making sure that we've got the headspace to deal with things as they come. A single will is priced at £210, including VAT.
Yep.
However, if we have a couple coming to see us requiring two wills, a mirror will, then the price is £330, including VAT. Each party would have their own will, but it would be mirrored. So husband to wife to husband, for example. And then residue going to the children as second reserve beneficiaries. And because it's a bit more straightforward, we don't need to charge the same amount again.
Yep.
We can charge just a little bit more than the single will. Obviously, if you want to be a bit more specific and direct your assets into trust to protect against to protect the bloodline, then trusts obviously come at a greater expense. But we will sit down with the clients and work out a bespoke package, and then provide them with a cost. And sometimes people can't afford or can't justify spending a huge amount of money from the outset. So we can provide them with, if money were no object and you wanted everything protected, this is what it would look like and this is what it would cost, and provide a breakdown. We would then discuss the priorities with that client. In what order should we place these different vehicles, and then we can simply set up a basic will to start off with if that's what they want, and arrange maybe to contact them 6 to 9 months down the line for a refresher conversation and see if they want to add in any of the other vehicles, whether that be trusts or powers of attorneys, at a time which suits them and their budget. Most of our clients, we have a long-term relationship with anyway, and we like to cultivate a long-term relationship with our clients because we offer a holistic service, not just in estate planning, but with our other businesses involving property investment and mortgage broking. So our clients tend to come to us as a bit of a one-stop shop for all of their financial and property requirements. So we know them quite well, especially if they come along to our workshops, events and seminars, and then they know that they can come back to us whenever they want to, and we can make those changes for them.
What is lasting powers of attorney?
Well, A Last in Power of Attorney deals... We've been speaking so far about death, Michelle. So, and now we need to talk about what happens when we're incapacitated, but we're not, we don't die.
Yeah.
So that could be, again, anything from... sadly, we hear about people who are who suffer an injury or an accident and maybe they're in a coma. Or talking about the elderly again, people with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia. They need to be represented in the event that they can't represent themselves.
Yeah.
And there are two key areas. One is surrounding property and financial affairs. So if something were to happen to me today and I was in a coma, I would need to appoint somebody in advance of that situation happening, obviously, to make my financial decisions for me, to decide, should I sell my house? Should I move money from one bank account to another? Should I cash in an investment?
Yeah.
And if I choose someone who I trust, they can make those decisions for me off the back of this legal document called the Lasting Power of Attorney for Property and Finance. Also, if I'm in a care home, and my loved ones come to visit me, and perhaps they're not comfortable with the way I'm being looked after, or perhaps I'm not being, you know, I'll give you an example. I suffer with celiac disease, so I need a gluten-free diet. If my family come along and see me being fed pasta and bread, they know I'm going to be very, very ill. With the Lasting Power of Attorney for Health and Welfare, they can legally remove me from that facility and take me somewhere else where they know I'm going to be looked after better and not be ill as a result of the way that I'm being treated there. So they're very, very important. They're not just for the elderly, they're for people of all ages, and also for people who run businesses. We can arrange a business lasting power of attorney so that in the event of an incapacity, the business owner can appoint perhaps their business partner to, who, by the way, would be very different attorneys who you'd probably appoint for your lasting power of attorney for your personal affairs. And that then allows your business partner or somebody in your organisation to make those decisions whilst you're not ill and until you get better.
You do seminars, so people can come along and have a chat at the Mary Green Manor. So when's the next one?
The next one is next Tuesday, the 1st of May at 6:30. Half past six registration for a 7 o'clock start, and will be wrapped up by 8:30. And the whole point of this is to, it sounds like quite a dark subject, but you'll be amazed at the conversations that we have on the on those evenings. And we hear from people who are sharing stories of, you know, sometimes horror stories of what they've heard have happened to people that they know, and they want to know and be educated by us about what they can do to make everything all right. So it's an educational workshop. We could be covering a wide range of subjects, all centered around estate planning. Plenty of opportunity for people to ask questions. There's no cost at all to attend. All you need to do to book onto this is visit the website willprotect.co.uk, and that's how you can contact me, and I'll gladly book any listeners on who want to come along and find out more.
Brilliant. It's lovely to see you again, and you'll be back in another 3 months?
3 months.
But you'll probably be in with Scott before then.
I will.
There we go.
Thank you, Michelle.
Comes back. It's nice to see you.